Coming up next, the three questions that job quitters should ask, and work flexibility may be a boon for night owls. I'll reveal the top five cities with the hottest job markets, and you know I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Colvin Show, where I coach you up to have the edge, the competitive edge, to make more money and more impact, because life is too short to just be kind of going through the motions as it relates to work. So quitting, this is the theme. People are quitting jobs, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. They are quitting at record numbers. It's unbelievable. And you've heard me talk about it, but let's just talk about questions that potential job quitters should ask. Because I want you to be equipped to quit. Quitting's not bad. Quitting doesn't make you a loser or a flake. And many of you need to quit. So here are some questions that you should be asking. Am I in the right role, but the wrong company? Am I in the right role, but the wrong company? So we unpack this. And we look at, okay, the reasons that I want to quit. And by the way, it would be very good as we wrestle with these questions. Before we wrestle with these questions, let me take just a step back for a second. And I assume that you can articulate to yourself why you want to quit. But maybe you haven't. Maybe you just have a feeling. And so it is important to start with, okay, what are the specific reasons? Maybe it's my emotional feelings. Maybe there are some actual specific situations that continue to happen, whatever it is. What are the reasons that you can identify or articulate for yourself as to why you want to quit? All right, so that's important. Now, back to the three questions. Am I in the right role but the wrong company? So now that you know your reasons for feeling as though you want to quit, because we haven't determined yet that you should quit. That's why we have these three questions. So the first question is, am I in the right role but the wrong company? Now, what does that mean? Well, let's just go with the simple metaphor that we use regularly on the show, and let's just look at a job as being a seat on a bus. So your job is the seat on the bus. The bus is your company. And so if you look at the reasons why you think you might want to quit or the reasons you know you want to quit, now you could say, is it the job, the role, meaning the seat, that is that right? Because if it is, we go, oh, so it's culture related, not job related. So it's not the seat on the bus, it's the bus. That's what we're looking at. So the question, am I in the right role but the wrong company, allows me to go, okay, I look at the seat on the bus, the role. No, that feels right. Because all the reasons I want to quit are not related necessarily to the actual function of the job, but the environment in which I am doing the job. So now you go, huh, I'm in the right role, but I'm in the wrong company. That's what we're looking at. We want to be able to identify what is the source of the frustration and the tension. Second question. Am I in the wrong role, but in the right company? So now we look at this and we go, wait a second. Is it for me that I am actually, I love the culture. I love the environment. I love the company. I love the leaders. I love it too. It's a really wonderful place to work. Huh. But what's off is I'm on the wrong seat of the bus. Now, little call out here. Some of you lack patience. And boy, do I know what that feels like. Well, I may be the most impatient person on the planet, so I'm calling myself out here. So remember, many times I'll tell you that it's important in order to get into that dream job that you just get in the arena, you get in the company, you get on the ladder, knowing we've got to climb. So for those of you that are going, oh, I feel like I want to quit, and you are feeling like, oh, this question, I'm in the wrong role with the right company. Wait a second, slow your roll, Sparky. You took this job knowing that you were getting on the ladder and you would have to climb into the ultimate role. So this is not a reason to quit because you're impatient. For someone asking this question, you feel something's off. If you don't see a ladder, you're not even close to the right arena, but you just took the job because it was a job, but you just happen to love the company. Now, this is what we're talking about. But for those of you who you intentionally are in the right place, good company, but you have to grow into that dream role, well, though you don't quit, you be patient. Third question, am I in the wrong role and in the wrong company? Well, this is where it's just straight up, wah, 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 right? You just know. I'm not on the right seat of the bus, and I'm not even on the right bus. So this third question, this is the one where as we answer this, it becomes extremely clear what we're doing, right? Okay, well, I'm starting to look now. I got to move on because I'm in the wrong role in the wrong company. But those first two, am I in the right role, wrong company? What do we do with that? Okay, now I'm in the right role, so right seat of the bus, wrong company. So now I'm going, okay, what's missing about my bus? What do I want the bus to be? Or in other words, what do I want the ride on a bus to feel like? And so we go, okay, we know it's the right role. So I'm now looking for that role or very similar role, but in a company that has a much better culture, and we know what we don't want and we know what we want. So now we can look for it. Second question, am I in the wrong role, right company? So now we go, okay, wait a second. Am I just dealing with impatience as I laid out? Or is it actually not an impatience thing? I'm just not a good fit here. So what do I do here? Well, I love the company, so I want to start by going, well, let's, since I love the company, the environment, let's just see. What does the right seat on the bus look like for me? Does it exist? If it does exist, how do I go about getting in that seat within the company? Got to do it smart. Can't just be bull in a china shop. You got to identify it, figure out what are the qualifications maybe that you need or the conversations you need to have to be able to become a viable candidate for it. And then we got to do it right within leadership. We've got maybe you have one leader you report to here, but to move over here, you would have to give this leader. They got to work together. There's some good old fashioned sensitivity and politics, if you will, in order to do that. So why do I give you these three questions? Because I think you could quit the wrong way. Just like you could start out on a trip the wrong way. I mean, it would be pretty foolish for me to tell the kids and Stacy, hey, gang, I wake them up early Saturday morning and I say, hey, we're going on a road trip. And they go, where are we going? And I go, we're going to this city. And Stacy goes, how long is it going to take to get there? I don't know. Which way are we going? I don't know. Now, in our world today, it's almost impossible not to do that. It would just be absolutely, you know, ridiculously stupid to take off on a trip because now we got the phones, we punch in the city, and it's going to give us multiple ways to get there. But in the old days, you pulled out an atlas. But you wouldn't start on a cross-country trip without mapping out a route. This is the idea. If I'm going to quit, before I decide to quit, I want to make sure that I'm supposed to quit. Maybe I need to figure out where I'm going to quit. Right? Should I quit? Where do I quit to? I'm not just quitting and going home and taking my toys with me. These three questions, am I in the right role, wrong company? Wrong role, right company, wrong role, wrong company. The Should I Quit My Job quiz is free. Go to KenColeman.com, quiz. KenColeman.com/quiz. It'll help you. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get the competitive edge to make more money and make more impact. Money and meaning. I'm your coach to help you make more of it. Going to get to a couple stories here that I think are very interesting that you need to know. First, an announcement, and second, an observation. The YouTube crazies are feeling spicy today, and I'm going to have to deal with them momentarily. But first of all, very excited about our career coaching. You know, I realized about 2 years ago as the show began to evolve and grow that there's a tremendous need for what I do, this coaching, but I am limited in 5 to 6 minutes with you. Well, what if I had a stable, an army that supports me, that are that are wildly qualified, even more experienced than I am, to coach you folks. And so we've assembled a world-class all-star team, and we are piloting a program. It's called Ramsey Career Coaching, where you will get to meet with a really, really experienced and certified coach. These aren't people who are unemployed who just became coaches. This is a full-time business, and they're rock stars. We're limiting this to 30 participants. So if you'd like to kick the tires, get involved, ask questions, or sign up, kencoleman.com/coaching. That's kencoleman.com/coaching. Okay, couple of YouTube crazies that are watching live, and they're in the chat room. And Grant Lowry is a guy that really enjoys observing everything that I do, whether it be on social, in the studio. And so Grant thinks he's funny. And I'm giving Grant a shout out because he's a fun guy. And I actually made the same joke that Grant made earlier today. So I thought, well, I'm going to call this out. So Grant says, I thought it was the UPS man in the intro because I'm wearing a very distinguished chocolate polo shirt. And so then people are like, oh, Grant's funny. Ha, 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 ha. And then somebody said, wonder if he's wearing khakis or Ken will never wear that shirt again or something about the khaki pants. And Milkucci said, especially if he's wearing khaki pants. So the question is for our viewing audience. I know our listening audience is going, what is happening right now? Am I wearing khaki pants? What say you, chat room? Go ahead and vote on it. And at the end of this segment, I'm going to stand up, Alex, and I'm going to reveal, am I wearing khaki pants or not to go with the brown shirt? Everybody's got jokes. You live chat room folks, you can vote on it. Yes or no? Am I wearing khaki pants? I will reveal it at the end of the segment. But first, some important stories to get to. We call it in the news. Okay, now this is really interesting stuff for you night owls out there. You night owls that love to stay up late and sleep in. And, you know, it's always been hard for you to keep up the normal 9-to-5 traditional schedule of your 8:30 to 5:30 type situation, okay? So this is the headline from U.S. News and World Report, losing sleep over the pandemic. Work flexibility may be a boon, a benefit for night owls. So scientists have now figured it out through a study. We'll break it down. That people who love to stay up late or stay up late naturally could improve their mental and physical health by taking a remote job that will allow them to work when they are at their best, which is late at night. The research shows that night owls obviously are hardwired. It's just how they're made up, and they sleep later as a result of staying up later. Kelly Barron is associate professor of the University of Utah. Says in this article that poor sleep is a driver of worker absenteeism and use of sick days. We would get better performance out of employees if they were allowed to work at their best working time. Researchers in Italy dove into this question specifically. In a recent study, they found that many Italians who don't typically fit into the traditional daylight timetable thrived, and their health improved when the pandemic's remote working conditions allowed them to work later hours. So I share the story because I talk a lot on the show about, obviously, you have a unique makeup, talent, what you do best, passion, work that you love, mission, results that really matter deeply to you. And then, of course, we all know about personality types, whether you subscribe to DISC or Myers-Briggs or Enneagram. Like, we all know we've got a different kind of combination of our personality traits. But then it occurred to me, well, this also makes sense. There are just some people, I've got a good friend who's a best-selling author, very successful psychologist and researcher. And the guy, as long as I've known him, stays up till 3 a.m. and he sleeps till about 12. And so his day starts at about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's his routine. He's very successful financially, very productive. Well, he, because he works for himself, has the flexibility to do that. So I thought this was important to point out that I think one of the very positive things that will come out of remote work and flexibility is that there are just some people who are wired differently physically as it relates to their sleep, and this could be a win for them. And I think this is great. And I think leaders, you need to pay attention to this. If you already are open to remote work or flexible work, and you got some candidates, I'd be asking, are you a night person? You a daytime person? I mean, if you're open to remote work, leaders, or those of you who want to stay in remote work, I think you got to bring this up. I think you got to go, look, I'm a night person. Go pull the studies. Italian study on sleep and those who are night owls and how it affects their work. I would really lean into this is my point, because this is a unique characteristic that is as relevant as your personality style, your type, your talent. I mean, you're wired this way. And I think if you can hone this in, and again, as remote work continues to become the norm, hybrid work, if companies are flexible in the time you work, I think you got to lean into this. Because think about if you don't lean into this, how frustrated you've been throughout your work life, how tired you've been. I actually love this. I think this is great. I love that the study has happened. And so I hope that helps some of you night owls out there as you navigate your best work. All right, next. Smaller cities are making for hotter job markets. Why? This is a Forbes article. So what are the top five hot job markets? I'll break these down, but we'll list them quickly. Austin, Nashville, Raleigh, Salt Lake, Jacksonville. So what are the commonalities? Well, look at Austin. Thriving tech hub. Vibrant music scene. Lots of great outdoor life. Great year-round climate. Oh, by the way, no state income tax. Watch for the pattern, folks. Nashville, Tennessee, number two. Nashville is a great place for music and entertainment. Unemployment, just 2.4%. And Tennessee doesn't have an individual income tax. Healthcare, banking, and finance industry is hot. Raleigh, trade, transportation, utilities, finance, tech hub for Google and Apple. Well, North Carolina does have a state income tax rate. It's only 5.25%. Salt Lake, tech and IT, booming. Low state income tax, 4.95%. Jacksonville, Florida, jumped into the top five for the first time. Logistics hub, seaport, two major interstates, great rail and air connections. Good for business, good for traveling. Beach all the time. No state income tax in Florida. No surprise, folks. So if you want to get to a job market that's hot, 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 move your business to a job area that's hot, you got to pay attention. All right, here's the reveal for the YouTube crazies. Brown polo. Do I have the khaki pants on to pull it off? Where's my drum roll? Here it is. Oh, it's not working. Drum roll sound effect's not working. So here we go. Here it is, folks. Tied it all in with the brown classics, the Sperry Topsiders. Eat your heart out, YouTube crazies. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are with us, helping you get the competitive edge to make more money and more impact in your work. By the way, you're doing that, you got a much better personal life as well. I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee it. And one of the ways to make sure that you are seeing all the possibilities out there as to what could be as it relates to a job and a career path is to use my friends at ZipRecruiter. It's a free service to you. They're one of the top job sites in the world. They've got companies that pay them for access to talent. That's you. That means it's free for you. But it's not just a free service. You take just minutes at ZipRecruiter.com, and you fill out a profile, and then they immediately begin matching your profile up to companies that have jobs that fit your profile. And so then they tell these companies, XYZ, ABC, hey, you ought to look into this person. Company says, yep, we want to interview them. Zip connects you directly to them. And you can submit your resume with one click. So their artificial intelligence makes it easy for you. And you can live your life and not feel like you're going to have to send out 50, 75 resumes a day. ZipRecruiter.com, go. All right, Marina is on the line in Orlando, Florida. Marina, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You bet. How can I help?
So, question. I have been in corporate finance for over 14 years, and I don't love it, but I love many things outside of it, like the schedule, the autonomy, the pay. But I've been wondering about switching careers, and how would you update your resume for something that doesn't quite fit the background?
Okay.
The jump I'm hoping to go to, possibly, is elementary teaching. I'm not sure how to correlate that with corporate finance.
Okay, great. You answered my question, so I didn't have to ask you my first question. This is great. So we've got corporate finance, and I'm actually going to do this with you. So okay. on my Moleskine right here, I've got my pencil in hand, and I'm putting mm-hmm. corporate finance on the left side of the page. And I'm going to draw a line down the middle, and I'm going to go elementary education on the right side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to go from corporate finance to elementary education. And you're worried about what to put on your resume. And I get that.
Yes.
So let's start with, do you have in hand now the qualifications necessary to get hired as an elementary school teacher?
I do.
Great. So those are going on the resume, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're actually qualified. Okay. So now the problem in your mind is you have no elementary school education teaching experience. Not yes. necessarily a problem. The first reason is because teachers are leaving schools in droves.
Yes. Correct.
So a person who is qualified to teach is going to be very attractive. Yes or no, Marina?
Yes.
All right, great. So here's what we want to do. We're going to focus on in your resume, and I want you to go to kencoleman.com and get the resume guide if you haven't already. It's free.
Yep.
Okay. And it walks you through how to do all this in much more detail. But I've always taught that because I have seen the data over and over again that hiring managers, even in education, spend about 7.5 seconds scanning a person's resume.
Okay.
What does that tell you? That it's not
you don't
so
have
much
time.
you don't have as much time to make an impression, but it's also less about right. the resume than you think it is. Okay? If the data said that they spent 70 minutes poring over your resume, then I'd be more concerned. So what we want to do is we want to draw out the relevance of your corporate finance work, your specialization as it relates to your skill and your experience. Those are our two categories.
Okay.
From your time in corporate finance that are transferable to the classroom. Am I still making sense?
Yes.
Great. So on my sheet of paper we go, because this is what mm-hmm. I would want you to do, and I'm going to start you out. So
okay.
let's just talk about skills. What skills from your previous work experience up to this very moment are very transferable to being an elementary school teacher? Go. I'm going to write them down.
Organization.
Okay.
Deliverables.
Execution, I'm going to call that. Okay. What else?
Not sure how to word it, but like a self-starter, motivating.
Okay.
Take the initiative.
Good. What else?
Minimal direction, leadership.
So you've led people.
Yes.
Yeah, leadership. Let's just call that leadership. Okay. I'm going to call the other one driven. So I've got organization, execution, leadership, driven. That's wonderful. I think you're missing one key element to what you did. What was your position in corporate finance? What is it? What are you doing?
Forecasting, budgeting.
Yeah, and who do you forecast these budgets to?
like top upper management.
Uh-huh. And you're leading a team of people, yes?
Not always, but I have.
You have. So yeah. My guess is you're pretty darn good at communication.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Normally. Come on. Not right now.
Well, you're live on the air. It's a pressure-filled situation. You get a pass, right?
Thank you.
I'm coaching you right now. You don't have to sound eloquent. But you see where I'm going here?
I do, yes.
So in your resume, you are going to highlight what I've done is one of the headings we use. And this is where you highlight not so much the job description, but the specifics that you delivered in the job. I have years of experience with organization. Specifically, I had to accumulate budgets, research, organize, communicate about these budgets. Well, that's what a teacher does. They research, they organize, they communicate. I feel like you're wildly qualified. I also think what's interesting about you is that you had to take a bunch of minutia. Stop me when I start to say anything wrong, and I mean it. You had to take a bunch of minutia in the form of numbers and patterns, and you had to distill it down to a simplified message that a doofus executive above you would be able to understand and communicate as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Feels like teaching to me.
When you put it that way, yes, it does.
All right, how are we feeling right now?
I mean, I'm nervous. It's a huge jump. And like you said, a lot of people are leaving teaching in droves.
Yeah, wait. You went negative. Yes. You went negative.
I did. Well, yes, because I'm an analyst. So I look at all everything.
I know. I want you to stop analyzing and start feeling. How about we turn the brain off for just the next minute and I want you to answer me with your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Possible? Yes.
Yes.
Turn your brain off and answer with your heart. What is drawing you to the elementary classroom?
Making a difference in schools today.
Yeah.
With our kids.
What kind of impact do you want to make on the lives of young people?
I want to show them that, you know, they can do anything they want to do. This is still America. We still can dream and achieve and...
Yeah.
What
would cause you to fail miserably in this role? Don't you dare think. Where you started thinking. I want you to answer this quickly. What would you have to do on purpose to fail in this role?
Gosh, thinking quickly, nothing. I mean.
Yes. So stop analyzing and overanalyzing. There's no evidence that you're going to fail as a teacher. You would have to intentionally do something stupid. I'm not talking to a stupid woman. I'm talking to a bright, accomplished, professional woman who has a heart for the next generation. There ain't no stopping Marina unless Marina stops herself.
That's very true.
We're done here, Marina.
Go to KenColeman.com.
Well, no, you are. Go to KenColeman.com. Get the resume guide for free. Do exactly what I tell you to do. And then go love on some young people. You are a rock star. The rest of you, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.